If you want to quit your favorite technical gimmick, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 173. It's pre-summer. We're getting summer weather, yet it's not quite an officially summertime yet. We have almost, well, we have about a month exactly before it is summer. That being said, there's quite a few things to talk about today. So with me today, well, first of all, I'm Chris. With me today is...
I am Matt.
And...
Thomas.
And we're your Gizmo Sapiens crew to walk you through interesting tech, popular culture, and where those things collide with politics. So the first thing I want to talk about is Ars Technica had a great article out about Apple's change in iOS 14.5 with people having to opt into analytics from third parties. And Facebook's worst fear came through, and 96% of U.S. users opted out of app tracking.
Which is well-deserved.
It is. Like Tim Cook says, you know, advertising existed before, effective advertising, as a matter of fact, existed long before companies like Facebook and Google were collecting your data and then selling it.
However, did we know what to buy?
I know. Well, Matt, you and I have talked about this before. It is totally irritating when you, and I don't have it where, like, I'm looking at something on Facebook or Amazon, and then because of cross-site scripting and stuff and cross-site cookies, Facebook then all of a sudden has what I was looking at as an ad from Amazon. But I do get the emails from Amazon where I've looked at something online and then they email my account, and it's a pain in the ass because half the time they're sending me stuff on stuff I've already bought. Why would I buy more of what I've already bought? Like, my youngest daughter is teaching at a summer camp this summer, so she ordered through my Facebook account some bucket hats, you know, like Gilligan hats to mm-hmm. wear to cover her ears and protect the top of her head. And I've gotten 6 emails on bucket hats since she bought 2. I'm not buying any more bucket hats, Amazon. So, but, you know, what's funny is the battle that's going on between Apple and Facebook on this, because Apple truly seems to be dedicated to privacy rights. I mean, everybody has some moments where their things don't line up exactly. Like, you know, there's also an article out there, and I forget who it was by. It might have been Ars Technica as well, where because to do business in China, Apple had to use certain businesses to do so. Technically, iCloud and email is not as private in China as it is here in the States and the rest of the world.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Yeah, I know. But that being said, they're more Chinese than there are in the Chinese government. Think about it. If they really wanted to revolt, would they revolt? No, they like it because that's part of their culture. I hate to say that, but, you know, because we as Americans don't look at it that way. We look at it as an oppressive regime. But if the people don't fight back because they don't see anything wrong with it,
why?
It doesn't mean that it isn't an oppressive regime, but
there's a difference, I think, between ignorance and stupidity that can be placed into this cultural argument.
Oh, I agree. No,
I don't think they know what freedom really is.
Yeah, because they haven't had... They don't know what it is because they haven't had it for so long. The few who have had freedom, like a lot of them
they're currently oppressed in Hong Kong.
Well, correct, because they lived under British rule, and a lot of them went to school in the United States, and things like that. And there are quite a few who understand freedom at the upper levels, of the Chinese government, because it's not so much a communist, it may be communist from a, well, it's not even a completely communist socialist economy from a, it's more of a national socialist economy, very much like the way Nazi Germany was set up, than it is a strictly communist or strictly socialist system, but it's definitely an oligarchy at the top. You know, the people who belong to the party committee and their families are the ones who, they understand freedom because they're allowed to exercise it.
But that's how all these communist socialist regimes wind up.
Well, absolutely, because there's, so I had a
you
professor.
Did forget Marxist on that end.
I had a professor in college, and he was a history professor, and he made a great point that has stuck with me since I was 18 years old in that class. It was a history class on I forget what the time period was, but it was the Greek city-states and the Roman Empire. So it was kind of an ancient history class. We're kind of in the middle of the time period that we talked about. And we spent, I mean, considering that this before everybody moved to semesters, we were on the quarter system, so you had a 9-week quarter. We spent like a week and a half on, which would have been 3 classes out of a 9-week quarter, on the city-state of Sparta. And he talked about, you know, in reality, everybody in Sparta was a slave because they were, you had, even though you had the Spartans at the top and you had the slave caste at the bottom, the slaves were always revolting, so the Spartans were always fighting slave revolts. So it was kind of a, you know, an endless feedback loop, because that's where they spent 90% of their time. And it's surprising, you know, that's why Spartan culture was very consistent for the whole period of the time that Sparta was a major power in the city-states. And he made the comment that he goes, the problem is not everybody can be slaves, because if everybody are slaves, then, and he was really relating this to the same thing as communism, if everybody's equal, then nobody's special and nothing gets done, because if you're equal, then, you know, you will not be specialized in anything, whether it's culture, your personality, your goals and drives, everything. He goes, and that's not how people work. You know, even if everybody were given equal things, people's motivations are different, and they have different things that drive them to make them successful. And that's why ultimately things like the Spartan society and communism and things like that don't work, because what happens is you end up with the haves and the have-nots, just like you do in almost anything else. The only time it's really fair is when you have the ability to be able to move from being a have-not to a have, and vice versa, being from a have to a have-not. That's part of freedom, you know? And what's the other thing that you're always seeing I've seen it at least 3 times on Facebook memes in the last week, which are, you're free to say, you know, and we're talking about freedom of speech, you're free to say anything you want, but you're not free from the consequences of what you say. And that's very true. You know, you can't threaten somebody with bodily harm. That's considered a threat of violence. You cannot threaten to kill the president, Kathy Griffin, because that is considered, that is illegal, you know, under the law. Now, you're free to say anything you want. You're free to threaten anybody you want. But just know that there are consequences to those actions. And I don't know. My soapbox is now vacant for the next person to stand on. But I think a lot of this comes back to the freedom of being able, the choice of being able to opt in and opt out. You're giving up something. And I guess 4% of the people in the United States really value the fact that, you know, if they like something on Facebook, then Amazon will target them in ads on Facebook.
And nobody ever reads terms and agreements anymore. Nobody has ever read them.
Again, the United States legal system was never meant to be the way it is today. It was actually meant so that there were no lawyers. It was supposed to be so that the laws were... That's why the only place... We do not have an official language in the United States, except English is the official language of government and law. So all laws in the United States must be in English. And they should be clear. But really, most laws in the United States are not in English anymore. They're in Latin, a dead language. They use terms that nobody is taught in school. And so that's why lawyers use this language to obfuscate things that would be should be spelled out plainly to you. And that's why Tim Cook said it in an interview that at a data privacy conference, and he said, you know, it's not the fact that they're collecting the data. It is the fact that you don't get the choice to opt out of them collecting your data. So Apple just gave every Apple user that choice. And Facebook's upset about it. Man. I mean, in reality, I don't know that... What was it, 10 years ago, everybody was saying, well, Facebook's dead. You know, it's Twitter and Instagram and today it's TikTok. And, you know, that's where people are doing social media. Facebook hasn't died. Part of it is, and it has nothing to do with boomers not wanting to move to a new platform. Facebook is unique, and it does offer some value in the way that it connects people together. You know, you have a friends list. And the thing is part of the reason that nobody has come up with something as successful as Facebook, like MeWe and other things, is because whatever they implement, they have to do where it would not seem like it's an infringement on Facebook's IP, the patents that they were given for certain processes, which I'm not so sure should be illegal. But again, that's another failure of our government. By the way, I'm so frustrated with our federal government this week. I feel like they get dumber and dumber every year. Every year. I can't go into why I feel that way. Other than
the evolutionary clock ticks backwards, apparently, in their minds. So,
but let's just say, since I deal with the federal government on a daily basis, that it's like I just can't get it. It's indescribable how stupid some of these people are.
Well, a lot of it stems from the fact that the federal government is not the federal government. It's the federal bureaucracy.
It's the third estate. You're right. Okay, let's move on from that. Matt doesn't want to get on his soapbox today, so he's smiling at me.
Yeah, you keep offering it to me, and I keep resisting.
So, this also came out, since we're on this topic, which office was this? So this is a quote from the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission. Privacy is just for crooks.
They're idiots.
So these guys at the in Australia are saying that privacy and encryption are only ever used for nefarious purposes.
For any Australian listeners, this is the greatest piece of evidence to show that your own government are domestic terrorists against you.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I do think it's silly, but it's evident of the long-term...
I agree, should have worded that significantly better.
It's evidence of the long-term effect of British rule over a significant portion of the planet.
Yes.
Because, quite frankly, we've also recently had one of the former princes who abdicated and moved to the United States. I never know which one he is.
Prince Harry.
He's how the First Amendment is bonkers. You know, and I'm just like, who cares? You lost that war.
Exactly.
I don't care what you think.
To quote Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, you never go full retard.
Well, he is a royal, and they are largely inbred. We talk about the South being inbred, but I think the Windsor family might take the cake. I agree. But I think what's more endemic of that statement, and then also the statement by the Australian government, is that they don't fundamentally believe that people have rights endowed to them by God. They believe the government grants rights. And unfortunately, we have people in our own government who believe that. But that, and again, that's how oligarchies start, because you have the people who believe they can grant rights, which also means they can take them away.
This is also, although this is not on the show notes, this is actually also an issue recently with cryptocurrency and, you know, what was it, the SEC, the Security Trade Commission, where they are? This is not on the show notes, but I thought this was interesting to bring up considering we dropped the topic. The government is now going after cryptocurrency. They're going after Library, which is an amazing open source project, for quote-unquote unregulated securities or whatever they said it was.
Correct. Because,
and it's really stupid, because essentially they're going after cryptocurrency for the thing that cryptocurrency is.
Well, the thing that I love about cryptocurrency is cryptocurrency
decentralized, non-government regulated.
Correct. It is a standard of monetary value, whether you pick one coin or another. It can be Bitcoin, Ethereum Classic, Monero, whatever. But those coins all have value, and they're not controlled by a single economy, controlled by a government. And that's what the government doesn't like, because, again, in the United States, the SEC and the Fed like to control money and manipulate things that they shouldn't be manipulating.
Also, by the way, Elon Musk, if you ever hear this, stop screwing with cryptocurrency by doing stupid shit on SNL.
Yeah. Or just, you know...
Or delete your Twitter account. Delete your account.
I think that's more of it. You know, if everybody wants Trump to delete his Twitter account, Elon Musk needs to delete his as well.
If you're taking financial advice from Elon Musk,
you really are stupid. That's like, why, just because he's rich and he's done some amazing things, why would you blindly follow a guy just because he's famous and he's on Twitter? Same thing for any celebrity.
But I do want to go back onto this thing from the Australian Criminal Intelligence Division, or whatever they're called, agency.
Sorry.
So they want backdoors put in everybody's software, from operating systems to applications, anything.
Only criminals want that.
Correct. Only criminals want that. So my curiosity is, how much is this group from the Australian government being paid by the Chinese Communist Party to have that done? Because that way, you know, they can send their 2 million, you know, government-controlled hackers to figure out how to get into those back doors, so that they can control the financial arena and personal information of all Australians.
Well, we could easily say the same thing as well about the U.S. government, especially under this current new administration.
Well,
we could say it about the administration before the previous one.
It's kind of funny, because there are some people who, in some respects, I respect them, and then other within our government, like Lindsey Graham, he's made stupid comments, like, we need to put back doors in this stuff.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
like,
the
wait
whole
a minute.
Warrant-proof encryption thing, it's blatant bullshit.
Yeah.
If you put any back door in any security measure, it's no longer secure.
Correct.
And that's the entirety of what the FBI, the CIA, all the security, really what I call at this point all the security theater agencies, they're not 100% security theater, but they're starting to become that when they start arguing for more violations, because we currently have the loophole that says that the same data, like your credit card number, your debit card number and PIN, your social security number, that apparently isn't private information if it's digital. But if it's a physical piece of information, well, we need a warrant for that.
Yeah. Well, don't get me going on Social Security numbers. They were never meant to be part of your identifiable measure, but now it's used to discriminate against people. It's used to mark you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that the Social Security system needs to go away. Not only does Social Security need to go away.
Well, so is like the credit rating system.
Well, exactly.
So,
but that's all
welcome to hell.
It's all based upon your Social Security number or your federal tax ID if you're a business, which is a Social Security number in the same format as your personal federal tax ID.
Sorry, I keep going off topic every once in a while.
Why do we need a Social Security number? Because you don't need it to go vote. But yet I need it to write a check. I need ID to write a check. I need ID to use to get a loan. Same thing with your social, and the only reason they want your ID to get a loan is to get your Social Security number. Which at least in our great state you can opt out of having put on your ID. But where I think this is important is what's happened to the East Coast of the United States in the last couple of weeks, which is shutting down of the U.S. East Coast oil pipeline.
The Colonial Pipeline, yeah.
So that argument that, you know, there should be a government backdoor into this, there's enough backdoors. The way they found that the hackers got in with the ransomware was to... because they had an unpatched Microsoft Exchange server.
They hadn't updated their Exchange server, and they just came in from there.
You know? So, I mean, my understanding is the FBI
business
was...
Business bureaucracy 101, ladies and gentlemen.
...getting hidden warrants to go out and fix people's unpatched Exchange servers. Why did they miss that one?
Because they're stupid.
And the other thing that was stupid about this shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline... was it was not the control systems that managed the pipeline that was infected. It was the accounting systems of the company who controls that pipeline.
Yeah, I had read somewhere that they'd shut down the pipeline operations out of an abundance of caution, which to me is applied pressure from governmental sources.
Yes.
That wanted that pipeline shut down anyway.
Yep. I would totally agree with that.
And what happened as a result? Well, demand went up because there wasn't enough gas to go around, and pretty much now you have pretty much a 1970s inflation situation going on over around those areas when it comes to just gas prices. People are lining up in droves just to get gas, and they're now having to pay out the ass for it.
Yep. And then I have one more thing I want to add in here. So President Biden did a interview. Let's see, who did the interview? The New York Times did a featured story on Biden. And they want to know about what life was like in Joe Biden's White House. And in the feature, he mentioned that he sent his grandchildren money by Venmo. Within 10 minutes of that article being published, somebody had found his Venmo account, found Joe Biden's Venmo account, all their grandchildren, all their children, including Hunter Biden's Venmo account, because all of that is public record. And so... what happened? With, of course, out of an abundance of safety for President Joe Biden and his family, their accounts disappeared. And so,
let's hope they got their IP addresses.
The idea of in the digital security community that set off warning alarm bells about Venmo's most criticized feature, and it's its public friend list, which tells who you do things with. And Venmo, which is owned by PayPal, which PayPal doesn't do any of that. It is all highly, highly, highly encrypted and hidden within PayPal. But because Venmo is a social payment network.
Which is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Paul Schumer took a crack at it.
Well, and you know, there's other things that are also part of that, too. So that public list also tells what transactions, like, you know, did I send somebody $400 or $40,000 or whatever? Did I receive it from some weird account, you know? And I have a feeling that's more why it got picked rather than... Because, I mean, how much real intelligence is somebody going to get other than knowing the Venmo accounts of his family? Real intelligence are they going to get of, you know, he send a few $100 to his grandkids every once in a while? No, it's him and his family.
Russian,
who's,
you know,
sending
agents,
them
what Chinese
money?
Communist Party,
but
People's Liberation Army agents that, sent Joe Biden shit ton of money over Venmo. It's anyone's guess. Those are just mine.
But the thing, you know, is so why is that such a concern if we don't need, if we don't need to have privacy and account of, you know, for these actions? Because the funny thing is evidently before they got some intelligence on it. The president had less than 10 friends on his app. The first lady, who also had an account, had all kinds of friends, including aides and staffers within the White House. And then it also goes on to say that the family members and an account that appeared to belong to Hunter Biden. And while having a public friend list may not seem like a big deal to some, experts say it can enable stalking and harassment, spying and deception. Well, yeah, because it's public. But again, you agreed to use it that way. You could have sent money via PayPal. You could have sent it via Apple Pay. I mean, there's a whole bunch of secure ways to do this. So why was, you know... And the New York Times...
He's our first dementia president.
Yeah, well, the New York Times... did do right by not publishing the actual account names.
But I guarantee you they would have if Trump were still in office.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the double standard of bullshit.
But the thing is before they deleted the accounts of the president and the first lady, they deleted all the friends on the friends list, the public friends list, so that they weren't associated anymore. Now, that seems more fishy to me than anything. Why wouldn't you just delete the account and be done with it? But, that being said, why is it important for the president to not have this, and but yet every other American citizen, you know, we should have a back door so that somebody can look at it.
This is the double standard that we've been talking about as a theme for this whole thing. You know, laws are meant for the peon people, not the true leaders of this country. And this planet, rules aren't supposed to apply to them. It's they're special. They get treatment that's different than you and me.
What is a founding tenet of our government? It's a government of the people, by the people,
for the people,
for the people, not of the government, by the government, for the government.
Although it's getting harder and harder to tell.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you.
I think honestly certain state governments, a lot of local governments around the United States, and especially the federal government, they're just throwing more flames on the fire that it's eventually going to get a civil war starting at a boil. I don't necessarily know, but it's something that I think if there is going to be a civil war, stupidity and bureaucracy is going to be the key things that cause it.
I have nothing to say to that.
I have nothing for that, yeah.
So lastly, May 17th was the extended tax deadline for your taxes in the United States. And guidance on May 14th, the Friday before, was that, hey, if you're expecting a refund and you're turning it in on May 17th, don't expect it until much later in the year, because we're still, IRS is still processing returns from 2019 and 2020. So,
I'll do taxes. You got this.
If the federal government wants a backdoor on everything, for transparency's sake, why couldn't these guys work from home and handle all these returns?
Absolutely.
What have they been doing all this time? Because you know they got paid.
Oh, I know. Well, the funny thing is like, I know tons of people who work at RightPath. I know a few who have continued to work from home. But after about the first 6 weeks of working from home, most of them were recalled, and they had to just, you know, work in shifts in the office and wear masks and, you know, social distance and do all that from the beginning. Why can't the IRS have done the same thing? Plus, with all the technology we have today, like virtual desktop infrastructure and VPNs and all this, why couldn't a lot of them had access to the IRS systems from home and been, you know, on a virtual desktop so that they couldn't save data locally and, you know, and dealt with this? Because I have a feeling that the IRS has, well, I don't have a feeling, I know for a fact the IRS has an extensive virtual desktop infrastructure so that their people can work remotely.
It's another excuse.
I don't
buy that for a minute. That's government being called on an inefficiency that they should have handled their business, and yet again, we the people get
have
left
to suffer.
Yeah.
Holding the back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you also have to wonder how much of this could really just be an automated process with machine learning and AI today.
Come with me if you want to live.
I agree.
But don't get me wrong. Anytime we start talking artificial intelligence and all of that, that when the machines get smart enough that they take over government functions, it's bad enough having a bureaucracy. But when we start trusting the machines, count me out. I can't do it.
At least they're going to be more responsive than a bureaucracy.
But are they, though? I mean, it's...
Well,
it depends on how many
feet. It will be even quicker for machines to kill us.
Yeah, you
when they're smarter than we are.
I mean, that's already happening in the military.
It is and it isn't. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are nowhere near
what the
capable.
Fiction,
yeah,
know,
well,
says.
What people.
Yeah, we're headed down the Skynet highway, and
not if
we
not
don't
make it federal
not,
law,
not
the
with the chip
robotics.
Shortage we got going. You know. Well,
that's one thing I wish we didn't have to deal with is the chip shortage, because I can tell people right now I really, really am waiting on some hardware.
Well, let's end it right there. That's a lot to think about. We want to hear your feedback. Let us know what you think about what we talked about. So please send feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.